Great. Do any of you have someone, or maybe a group of people, outside of your family, so people you're not related to, or maybe you don't live with, that you regularly meet with and can openly share and go deep and pray for with one another? Put your hands up if you've got some people in your lives like that. Yeah? Great. I do this regularly, and if you do this, you realize what a joy it is and how helpful that is. But also that this is God's heart for all of us, and hopefully there's people in this room that they are there for you, and you are there for them. Or if you don't have that, then that can develop through the term groups and through people. But that's our heart for as leaders, for everyone to have someone or a few people to really go deep and share with one another. And I do this regularly. I was with two friends who are both pastors in July, and we meet up regularly, and we were sharing prayer requests and said, "Oh, how can we pray for one another?" And I asked one of the guys there, one of my friends, "Oh, what can we pray for?" And he said this, or something to, I can't fully remember the line he said, but he said, "Please pray for a growth in my relationship with the Holy Spirit." She's like, "Pray that I grow in my relationship with the Holy Spirit." That's a great prayer, isn't it? Like he wants to grow in his relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I felt two things that time. I felt like, "Oh, wow, like that's a great request. Why didn't I think of that?" And then I was like, "Yeah, like praying for them. I'll, yeah, Lord, show him again, like when he's not listening to you. Lord, may he see something and step out in faith. Give him new eyes for that. Lord, may he see more of the impossible be impossible with you. May he, Lord, may you develop joy and other fruit in his life. Lord, may you fill him again so he's not satisfied with what he's got. Lord, may he not grieve you in these certain areas. May he know your voice and may he trust you again." That's a great prayer, isn't it? That's a prayer that we want. So I was impressed by his request, but then saddened that I didn't think of it. Saddened that it wasn't like my request. When he said it, I was like, oh, amen. Like, yeah, that's great. Like, I want that and I need that. But it made me realize actually that maybe I've actually settled with my relationship with the Holy Spirit. That I've almost kind of like got used to my relationship with him. And kind of settled there and kind of thought, this is all that's possible, or I'm not desiring more of him. And then I started a process in my mind and talking. We talked as elders then about what we're going to do in September. And then we started discussing if we could do this maybe on Sunday mornings, and then decided to look at different aspects of our relationship. So this is all about our relationship with the Holy Spirit through the book of Acts, because the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, even though it's hard, he's a spirit, that he's a person that we can have a relationship with. Amen? That he wants us a relationship with us. And think of the person on earth or someone on earth that you have the closest relationship with. For me, it would be me and my wife, Becky. And that relationship, it's not just, oh, I love her and she loves me. There's so much more to it, isn't it? There's so much more to a relationship of listening, of sharing, of serving one another, of sadly annoying one another, getting frustrated with another, loving, crying, laughing, grieving, amazing, powerful mountaintop moments, but also some difficult valley low moments. But in that time, over the last 16, 17 years we've been married now? 17 years. Is it 70? 17 years, like there's so much more to know, isn't there? We've gone through these things, we're developing this, but there's so much more to go. And because sometimes I think when we think of the Holy Spirit, or as churches, if we think, oh, we're going to do a series on the Holy Spirit in church, sometimes we can almost box it down to, oh, how lively or unlively a church's worship is. It's almost like, oh, that's the Holy Spirit's time within that time. And so how lively or unlively? Or we think, does a church function or believe in the supernatural gifts or don't they? And sometimes we can almost just do series on those things and not other things. But this is about our relationship with him, which is way more, isn't it? Way more than that. And as elders, we do want to learn about being more Spirit-led. We want to be more open to what the Spirit wants on Sunday mornings, and how we step out in faith, but also protect people with that. But this series is more about there's 168 hours in our week, okay? So 7 times 24, 168 hours in our week. And this series is way more about the other 166 hours in our week than these 2 hours, okay? Like, this is way more about the time that we're not gathered, when we're scattered and we're doing the thing, when you're in work, with our neighbors, with our friends. This series is way more about the other 166 than the two that we're together. And so this is what we're kind of going to look like, some of the things that we're going to look at. So I'm talking today on two verses, carrying on in the Holy Spirit. Next week, it talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know that can mean different things for different people, but just to let you know, that's going to be more just saying the aspect of John's baptism, which was human effort, but the Holy Spirit's baptism, which is by God. So we're just going to look at that. But then later on, we're going to be looking at the different aspects of baptism, the Holy Spirit, power from the Holy Spirit, waiting on the Holy Spirit, languages by the Holy Spirit, boldness, responding to, devotion, healed by, repenting to, confirmation, shut up about the Holy Spirit when they were told not to speak about it, desiring more of the Holy Spirit, unity in the Holy Spirit. That's a lot, isn't it? And that's only the first four chapters. And this is like a relationship. We're not going to like key things. We're talking about like, what does it mean to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and for us to grow in that. So that's our prayer and our desire. And today is just Acts 1, 1 and 2. The verses on the screen, but this is what it says as we start this series. It says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." So this guy was writing to Theophilus. Our boy is called Theo, but it's not short for anything. And we got Theo, Theodora, but it's not Theophilus. But the guy who was writing to this guy was a guy called Luke. And Luke was one of his disciples from the beginning of his ministry. He was a doctor, so he would have been a clever guy. And so for him, for any doctors, words are important, aren't they? Like, if you're doing a prescription for someone, words are important. Getting the details right are important. But also sickness and health is important for a doctor, isn't it? Like, that's a big part of their role. So words are important, but also sickness and healing are important. And he says here, "In my former book," and so he'd already written a book, one book, which is the book of Luke, simple, Luke's gospel, or the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. And he says, he summed up this book by saying, "In my former book," but he says, "In my former book, I wrote about everything that Jesus began to do and to teach." So in my former book, the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And there's four really important words there. Jesus began, do, and teach. So Jesus, so he's talking, his former book, the book of Luke, is all about Jesus and about what Jesus did from being God, but through the will of the Father, through the Holy Spirit. So this book is all about Jesus and about him. But then it says what he began to do. He says began. He's saying what Jesus has began. So this isn't the end. My book isn't the end. This was just what Jesus did was the beginning. And this is to continue. So this is a beginning, something to continue. And then he says what Jesus did or began to do. And if you know the Bible, we read things that Jesus fed thousands of people. He spent time with them. He loved them. He listened to them. He laughed with them. He cried with them. but also he healed people, he cast out demons, he did amazing miracles. He did a lot, didn't he? But he's saying, well, Luke is saying, that's just what the beginning. That's what he just started to do. But he began to do this. And then also what he taught to teach. And so he spoke. His words are massively important. They're actually the words of life. And we read that faith comes from hearing the word of God. And he said a lot of things. And so that's how he kind of almost summed up the Gospel of Luke. And so because he summed it up quite clearly, let me just sum it up in some pictures in relation to the Holy Spirit, which are some good truths for us to remind us. So he summed it up, the book of Luke, with Jesus began to do and teach. This is what I would sum up with the Holy Spirit in beginning to do and teach in regression to the Gospel of Luke. So Jesus, we believe, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. There's a few ladies here who are pregnant. Is Leah in here now? And Hedwyn. So Hedwyn, Sam, is Hedwyn as big as this yet? Say no, mate. Say no, okay? Say no. So, but Jesus is different. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So there was no man involved. Mary was used to give birth to the Son of God. But Jesus was fully God and fully man. He's the only person on earth who was ever conceived by the Holy Spirit. Amen? It talks about how John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, but he had a mum and a dad to make him. But Jesus is the only one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that's an important truth to hold on to, because some other religions change that. But for 30 years then, some people say, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything until he was 30. Like, he's just like one of us. He didn't do anything. And so it only really began when he's 30. But I would say, me and my wife have got four boys, okay? And if one of them was without sin for 30 years, that's a pretty big deal, isn't it? That's a pretty big deal to live life for 30 years and yet not sin. He didn't just not sin during the 3 years of ministry. He didn't sin for 30 years. Like, think of the terrible teens and what they call the twos one? Terrible twos as well. But like, Jesus didn't have that. Okay? He was without sin throughout his life up to the age of 30. And so if you hear people say, oh, Jesus, just like, he didn't really do anything until he's 30. No, he was without sin. Like, he lived a perfect life because he was fully God and fully man. And then he got baptized. Next week, we're going to be looking at baptism. He got baptized, even though he didn't need to get baptized. He did it to fulfill all righteousness. And then what do we read? We read that the Spirit fell on him, that the Spirit came on him. And then there was a voice saying of the Father, this is my Son who I truly love, who I am well pleased. And the Spirit fell on him, confirmed him, and then, if you like, his ministry then started after that. He went into the wilderness from being led by the Holy Spirit. And in that 3 years then, he taught, loved, healed, did amazing miracles with people, and he gathered a group together to show them and to teach them and to do life with them. But then often then, whilst he was still on earth, he sent his disciples out to do it without him. He said, oh, look, I've done this. I've shown you what to do. Like, the power's in my name. So you go and do it. And sometimes he was with them, but often he let them do it. Even whilst he was still alive, he let them go out and proclaim the kingdom. Saying, so word and deed. So he proclaimed the kingdom, and they healed those who were sick. And then he died, and he rose again, and he conquered the grave, and he was alive, and he's ascended. Amen? And so that's the greatest miracle, if you like, that Jesus did that. And so that's like the picture that which I would sum up the Holy Spirit of some of the main things of what he did in the Gospel of Luke. But then the verse says, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit. So until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit. And we read that Jesus was alive after his death for around 40 days. which is awesome. This proved to his followers and to the doubters that he was Messiah, that he is God, that he is alive. And then he ascends into heaven in front of these his followers, which they would have thought, wow, this is amazing, this is cool, this is great. He's now at the right hand of God, the power seat. If anything, they would have thought, oh, this is brilliant. But then there would have been an aspect of them and us, if we were doing that, oh, Jesus is alive, he's around for 40 days, awesome. He's ascended, oh, great, he's the right hand of God. But then as these guys are watching him and ladies are watching him, there would be an aspect of be like, well, what about us? Like, what do we do now? Like, you're gone, so what do we do now? I thought you were going to establish a kingdom. Just sort it all out now, but it'll be a lot easier. Just do it now. So what about us? Like, what are we supposed to do now? What are we going to do? And it says it talks about the instruction. Sorry, it says, and given up to teach until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit. And we'll find that these instructions, as we look for the Holy Spirit through the books of Acts and the relationship that the Holy Spirit had then with people in the early church, but also in our lives and church and situations today, as we follow Jesus, is that when it comes to the question the disciples had, and maybe you and I have today, is, okay, Jesus, so what do you want us to do now? You've done all this. You've conquered the grave. You're ascended. You're on the right hand of God. Like, what do you want us to do with your ministry, with what you want to do? And the answer is two words. Carry on. That's what he wants us to do. Carry on. Like you say, he doesn't say, oh, well, he's not like, oh, I've stopped now, just wait. No, carry on. I started this. I showed you. I'm still alive. It's still my power. Still my name. So carry on. Carry on until I come back. I want you to carry on everything that I've done and said until you come back. Now, as he says, carry on there, we need to realize that some of those things are completed and some of them are still to carry on, isn't it? Like, we don't need to wait for another Messiah to be born. Amen? Like, that's completed. We don't need to wait for our kids to be perfect. Amen? Although that would be lovely. Like, we're not looking for perfect kids to be a Messiah, are we? We're not looking for someone without sin. We're not looking for someone to die, rise again, or ascend on our behalf again, are we? Amen? We don't need that. Jesus has finished it. It's complete. All of this is completed. So there's three big aspects there that are completed. But we'll see that as we go through Acts, the same power, and we sing this song, don't we? The same power that conquered the grave lives in where? It lives in us. The same power that conquered the grave lives in us. And that Jesus wants us to continue, and that's what we're going to do next week, continue baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then when we've repented, we've believed, we received the Holy Spirit, he then wants us, sometimes with gentleness, sometimes with boldness, to proclaim the gospel, doesn't he? And then also, he wants us sometimes with meekness, sometimes with power, to act in the supernatural. Amen? He wants us to carry on doing what he began to do and to teach. And the final verse there, it says, and the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And now this is awesome, but also the start of difference. And as we go through the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit, obviously it's going to be theological, but we don't want to kind of look, oh, these guys have got it wrong, we've got it right, or anything like that. We want to really focus on the relationship with the Holy Spirit. But we would all, if you went to any evangelical church today, I think we would all say amen to Jesus living, dying, rising again through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I think all evangelical churches would say that. We'd all say amen to what happened to in the New Testament after him with the Holy Spirit and the new church and the early church. Amen? We'd all say that was true. And we'd all say amen that 2,000 years later, the Spirit is with us. Amen? So every evangelical church with that. But some then will believe that when the apostles died and the Bible was completed, that some parts of what Jesus did and said in his church have now ceased, so they've stopped. Where others believe that they will continue till Jesus comes back. And in this room, we might have a difference of belief or experience or upbringing in that. And so I think that's a healthy place to have dialogue with one another. But like I said at the start, the desire for this series is not about the 2 hours necessarily on a Sunday, but it's about the other 166 hours when we're not in the church. That's the desire, is for how do we grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit? How do we listen to him? How do we repent? How do we not grieve him? How do we see opportunities to serve him and to act and step out in faith? That's our desire. And as elders of four elders with all different church backgrounds and upbringings, we've come from different places, but we would say that we are united in belief, that we believe that all the gifts and the roles and the fruits of the Holy Spirit are for today. So that's what us four as a team believe. And so we want to be open to the Spirit when we gather. And we also want to pray for the supernatural. We want to proclaim the word. We want to trust the word of God. But also we want to shepherd you guys, and we want to protect you in an orderly manner, like Paul says in Corinthians. So that's what our heart is to do, but that's what we want to continue to do and be more open to that. But our aim or agenda, if you like, is for us to all carry on what Jesus said and did. Amen? That's our agenda of the series, is to carry on doing and saying what Jesus started. For all of us to proclaim the gospel gently and boldly, for all of us to be obedient to the Spirit, whether that's acting in meekness or power. And if anything, like, this is our agenda, and this is a slide we have at the start of the worship when we pray about worship, Spirit, and in truth. If anything, this is our prayer, our lifelong prayer, our agenda, if you want to say, where it says, Jesus, he was talking to the Samaritan woman, he says, Jesus said, believe me, a time is coming when you will neither worship the Father on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. He's talking about, you don't have to be in a certain building or a place. Yes, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Do we want to be a church that worship him in spirit and in truth? Amen. Amen. And that's not just a Sunday, is it? That's tomorrow. That's when we go home. That's before we get to church. That's in our workplace with our families. This is a 24/7 thing, isn't it? We want to be people who worship God. We know what pleases him, spirit and in truth. So we should fight and battle and wrestle with what that looks like until we see him face to face, because we want to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to play a song now to close. This is a song called Yearn by Shane and Shane. I heard this song probably a year after becoming Christian, so over 21 years ago. But every now and again, those some songs stick with you and they kind of become prayers. And this is talking about yearning for God. It says, Lord, I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion over you. I want to yearn for you. I don't know about you, but I've been following Jesus for over 20 years, and that is still my prayer, that I want to yearn for him. Even when I'm not yearning for him, I want to yearn for him. Don't you want more of him? Like, don't we want more? Don't we want our eyes open to that? God, show me there's more of you. Show me, Lord. Please, Lord, don't let me settle in my knowledge or understanding or experience with you. Please, Lord, I want to yearn for you, Lord. I want to burn with passion. I want to be wise and sensitive, Lord, but I want to be open. I want to be obedient. I want to proclaim your word and share your truth. But also, Lord, if you want to use me in the supernatural to open people's eyes, then use me, Lord. I want to yearn for you. Amen?
Amen.
And this song is that. And I'll play this song, and maybe as response, if you heard this, if the words speak to you, and this is almost also your prayer, like maybe when it gets to a point, you stand as well. And maybe as you stand, maybe just put your hands out, open your hands up. And do we put your hands up? We're like this. Oh, look at me. Everyone look at me. We're not doing that, do we? We're not saying, oh, look at me. Like if we went to the football and someone scored, what would you do? Way! We'd celebrate. So this is not look at me. This is celebrating God. Or if someone said, oh, I'm going to give you a gift, and I'd be like this. All right, thanks. I'm not going to get it, am I? If someone's going to give me a gift, I'll put my hands out to receive it. And when we do this, we're saying, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you, Lord. Lord, I believe you're the greatest name, so be that in my life. Be that in my life. And so we're going to play this song. And if there's something that stands out to you, then you stand. And then I'll come up and pray for the people who stand in. You might think, oh, well, why don't you pray for me if I'm sitting down? Jesus always asked for a response. He always asked for a response. He always asked for faith. He always asked for a response. So if you want to sit down, you can sit down. But I'll be praying for those who are standing. And that's not pressure. If you do want to stand, that's absolutely fine. But I just think Jesus always asks for a response. But let me just finish with a story before we play this and then finish. As we've been starting, Lord, how can we be more obedient to you just as a person, not as a pastor, as a father, but just as a follower of Jesus. Lord, I want to be more obedient to you. And literally yesterday, I took Billy and Theo. We had a really busy day. Becky was the older two. I had Billy and Theo just after football. And I took him to Penarth Swimming Pool. Penarth Swimming Pool, by the way, best swimming pool in Cardiff, okay? £10 for a family ticket. So just let you know. And so we were there, but we were half hour early, and we're never early for anything, but we were half hour early. So where did I take them? Greg's, okay? I took him to Greg's. See my friend Greg? Mike knows Greg's. So we took him to Greg's, had some food. We were waiting, and then we had about half hour to fill. And then as we were eating food, I saw someone from over, and do you know when you see someone who's maybe drunk or on drugs, you can see maybe them stuttering, or maybe it was like, you can say like they're mentally ill, maybe. And I saw someone, I was like, he's none of those. He looked tormented. He just looked tormented, this guy did. There was something about this guy, I saw him, and he was going up to people, and people were scared. And I was like, he looks tormented, that guy does. And we were having food, and the boys, they were halfway through pizza, so I couldn't leave them. And so I said to the boys, all right, guys, see that guy over there? Like, when we have food now, we'll go to some shops, and if we see him, or if you see him, tell me, because I'm going to pray for him, and I'm going to speak the name of Jesus over him. So that's what we're going to do. So they were like, okay, and I kept on eating their pizza. So then we kind of did it, and I sort of walked around for a few shops to kill some time. And to be honest, I kind of forgot because Theo was asking for so many things in these charity shops, like, oh, can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? I kind of realized this is not a good idea. Let's just get to the swimming pool. So we've gone to a few shops, and then as we were walking back to the car, all of a sudden, all of these police cars are there, and there's people, there's a commotion, and people got their phones out. And the guy who we saw earlier is being locked up and thrown into the back of a police van. Like he's being thrown into the back. Literally as we get there, locked up and thrown into the back of the police van. And I thought, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? If I had that, and I'm like, God, should I have left my boys? Was I not obedient to you? Like, should I have just gone straight away? Or should I try and go and speak to the police officers now and those things? And I don't, and I'm not beating myself up. I don't think I should have left my boys. And so, but what I think almost like the Lord showed me is almost like if Jesus saw that guy, like what would Jesus have done? He would have set him free, wouldn't he? If Jesus saw that guy, he would have set him free. That's what he'd done. He would have set him free. And it's almost like if we as Christians don't have that faith and don't look to set people free, what ends up doing? They end up getting locked in a cage. They get locked up. They get put away. And almost like the devil wins. Like, ah, you can't touch him. I don't want him to be set free. I want to lock him in the cage. I want to hold him like you can't touch him. And I'm not beating myself up for that. But almost as we start this series, almost like, God, open our eyes again. You want to set people free. That's what you want to do. You want to set people free. And you use us. You want to use us to set people free. And so help us, Lord, to be obedient to you and to step out of faith so that the enemy doesn't keep locking people away, that we are used to set people free. So let's listen to this song. And at the end of the song, I'll just come up and pray to finish. We're not going to have another song. We're just going to come up to pray. But if you want then for me to pray for you, either the end of the song, then stand up, or during the song, stand up. And like I said, you could just stand if you want, but if you want to like say, Lord, I'm here, I want more of the start, then let's do that.